Lily Trimble is quite beautiful, isn't she? I say by way of trying to make pleasant small talk with Tom, a seemingly impossible task.
An actress, Tom sneers. What sort of way is that for a woman to live, without a solid home, husband, children, running about like she's her own lord and master? She'll certainly never be accepted in society as a proper lady.
And that's what comes of small talk. Part of me wants to give Tom a swift kick for his arrogance. I'm afraid to say that another part of me is dying to know what men look for in a woman. My brother might be pompous, but he knows certain things that could prove useful to me. I see, I say in an offhand way, as if I want to know what makes a nice garden. I am controlled, courteous, ladylike. And what does make a proper lady? He looks as if he should have a pipe in his mouth as he says,
A man wants a woman who will make life easy for him. She should be attractive, well-groomed, knowledgeable in music, painting, and running a house. But above all, she should keep his name above scandal and never call attention to herself.
He must be joking. Give him a minute and he'll laugh and say it was just a lark. But his smug smile stays firmly in place. I am not about to take this insult in stride. Mother was father's equal, I say coolly. He didn't expect her to walk behind him like some pining imbecile. Tom's smile falls away.
Exactly. And look where it's gotten us.
It's quiet again. Outside the cab's windows, London rolls by, and Tom turns his head toward it. For the first time, I can see his pain. See it in the way he runs his fingers through his hair over and over, and I understand what it costs him to hide it all. But I don't know how to build a bridge across this awkward silence, so we ride on, watching everything, seeing little, saying nothing.
Gemma.
Tom's voice breaks, and he stops for a moment. He's fighting whatever it is that's boiling up inside him.
That day with Mother... Why the devil did you run away? What were you thinking?
My voice is a whisper. I don't know. For the truth, it's so little comfort.
The illogic of women.
Yes, I say, not because I agree, but because I want to give him something, anything. I say it because I want him to forgive me, and perhaps then I could begin to forgive myself.
Did you know that...
His jaw clenches on the word.
Man, they found, murdered with her.
No, I whisper.
Sarita said you were hysterical when she and the police found you, going on about some Indian boy and a vision of a thing of some sort.
He pauses, rubs his palms over the knees of his pants. He's still not looking at me. My hands shake in my lap. I could tell him what I've kept locked tight inside. Right now, with that lock of hair falling in his eyes, he's the brother I've missed, the one who once brought me stones from the sea, told me they were Raja's jewels. I want to tell him that I'm afraid I'm going mad by degrees and that nothing seems entirely real to me anymore. I want to tell him about the vision, have him pat me on the head in that irritating way and dismiss it with a perfectly logical doctor's explanation. I want to ask him if it's possible that a girl can be born unlovable, or does she just become that way? I want to tell him everything and have him understand. Tom clears his throat.
What I mean to say is, did something happen to you? Did he... Are you quite all right?
My words pull each other back down into a deep, dark silence. You want to know if I'm still chaste?
If you want to put it so plainly, yes.
Now I see that it was ridiculous of me to think he wanted to know what really happened. He's only concerned that I haven't shamed the family somehow. Yes, I am, as you put it, quite all right. I could laugh, it's such a lie. I am most certainly not all right. But it works, as I know it will. That's what living in their world is, a big lie. An illusion where everyone looks the other way and pretends that nothing unpleasant exists at all. No goblins of the dark, no ghosts of the soul.